Welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting again with Eddie Gabor. He is the co-owner of the Key Advisors Group. I've had Eddie on the show a couple times before, and I wanted to bring him back on because he does have a new book coming out called The Common Sense Bull. This book will be released March 19th, and the easiest place to find it, as it usually is for books, is Amazon. So keep an eye on that, and if anybody wants more information on that book, always feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I'm happy to put you in front of Eddie and his team to make it a little bit more easier for you to get that book. Just as a quick synopsis here, Eddie, the book is called The Common Sense Bull. What are you trying to outline within this book, please?
So one of the main things, first off, thanks for having me on your show again. I really appreciate it. In regards to the book, what I try to share is our common sense approach to wealth management and risk management, and really highlighting some of the core principles that it takes to be financially independent at some point in time in your life. Because I think sometimes people overcomplicate things. There's a lot of information out there, and sometimes when there's a lot of information, it can be confusing and cause people to overthink it. So this book really tries to dial in to just core principles that if people follow and stay disciplined and have a coach or an investment advisor to help keep them accountable, my hope is this book will not only educate them but motivate them to kind of move forward and get themselves in a position like our clients are in.
Okay. Always important, though. You don't just want to enter these markets blindly, especially with some of the volatility that we have seen over the last about 4 to 5 months. Let's also talk about the markets, because one thing you pay close attention to are interest rates or yields for treasuries. One thing that really drove home what happened at the tail end of last year was a pretty quick decline in yields, especially the 10-year and even the 2-year. But the fact of the matter is we do still see a very flat yield curve. How are you balancing out where yields currently stand and how that impacts the markets?
Well, if we look back to the fourth quarter decline and December was like one of the worst Decembers we had since the early 30s. And one of the core reasons why there was that decline was a concern of an inverted yield curve between the 2-year bond and the 10-year bond, because the Federal Reserve was raising rates and kind of gave indications that they were planning to continue to raise rates going into 2019. And the problem is that was affecting short-term rates were going up, but long-term rates were not. And traditionally speaking, anytime we've had a inverted yield curve where the 2-year yield is higher than the 10-year yield, it's actually predicted our last 6 recessions. So one of the things I pay closest attention to when we're making our market calls is the relationship between the 2-year and the 10-year, and then, of course, at how high interest rates are. At the end of the day, investors are going to make a decision on the difference between the risk-free rate and a risk rate. And with the 10-year bond still being at, 2.6, 2.65, that is really, really low 10-year yield. And as long as the 10-year stays under 3% and we don't have an inverted yield curve, we're going to continue to be bullish in these markets and look at these big dips like the fourth quarter as a buying opportunity for those that have the risk tolerance to be able to actually do it.
Now, I feel like whenever you talk about yields, you do need to discuss what the central banks are doing. And clearly, with the U.S. market pullback and the Fed switching more dovish, or at least pausing, although they paused in December, and we didn't really see too much more downside in that 10-year note or in that 10-year yield. How do you think the balance plays out here between what the markets are doing and, more importantly, what the Fed is doing in terms of where the 10-year can go?
Well, the Fed is going to be very cautious this year, and the reason why is a couple things. Number one is they don't want to have an inverted yield curve either. They know the repercussions of that. And secondly, there with the slowdown in China, there is a concern that that could spill over to the U.S. and we would have slower growth than anticipated for 2019. So I don't expect the Fed to raise rates more than one time for 2019, which again will be very bullish for the equity markets in our opinion. Now, one of the reasons why is they have not been able to affect the long-term rates, and I think that's a big misconception is when people hear the Fed's raising rates, they just assume that's all rates are going up. They only affect the short-term rates. And because our rate, the 10-year rate, even though it's only 2.6 to 2.65 right now, it's still higher than the international markets. So there still is a lot of demand for our 10-year government bonds. And that's why the yields on the long end of the curve have not really spiked up drastically during the time that the Fed was raising rates. So as long as our rates are higher than what you can get overseas, there's still going to be natural demand for U.S. paper. And again, that's going to put a ceiling on the 10-year, and that's very bullish, in our opinion, for the equity markets.
Okay. Yeah, that's been a key distinction, is that even though it seems like the U.S. rate is low, the fact of the matter is global rates are even lower, and that just adds to some demand for what's going on in the Treasury market. How does also this growing deficit and debt in the U.S. also play into this? We just saw last year $1 trillion, and it's looking like even more this year. That all needs to be funded.
Yeah, and the scary thing with the U.S. deficit is if yields do go up, that means the servicing of that debt increases, and that puts us in a bigger hole financially. So, frankly, it's not in our best interest as a country to have higher rates when we're carrying the deficits that we're carrying, because the servicing that money will increase substantially. And if you don't have the tax dollars coming in and the economic growth to support that, you just continue to dig yourself in a bigger, bigger hole. So we could have a whole discussion on the deficit and how we need to be managing debt a little bit better as a company and as a country, because that could be a big, big long-term ticking time bomb.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are pointing to that. But again, if rates or yields stay low, then that can, I think, keep that ball rolling for maybe a little bit longer than other people think. But you have talked about that yield curve. And you know what? We have not gotten an inverted yield curve, but there is no doubt that the yield curve has been on a pretty, well, not straight line, but pretty much a straight line down ever since the peak in 2014 at about 2.5%. The 10-2 spread right now sitting at about 17 basis points. So really, it is close to inverting, but it's been sitting around this level now since December. What do you think? Do you think that the 10-year and the 2-year can almost maintain this relationship where it does not become inverted?
You know, I think here in the short term for this year, I think so, because again, there's caution right now in the markets because of the U.S. and China trade issue. I think if we solve the trade concerns with China, you're going to see the 10-year treasury widen, I believe. The 2 and the 10-year spread will widen because the concern of a slowdown economically will diminish a little bit. If we do not strike a deal with China and tariffs end up happening both from them to us and vice versa, then I think you could run the risk of that yield curve getting even tighter and tighter and possibly inverting. But I don't see that happening this year. I really don't. I think we can keep this relationship where it is now because we are still growing here in the U.S., and I don't see a recession on the horizon for 2019 or the beginning part of 2020. But a lot of it is going to stem on what happens with the U.S. and China trade talks that hopefully we'll have some clarity on here at the end of this month.
Yeah, well, we keep on getting a lot of back and forth type of talk from both the U.S. and China. So it's hard to really hang your hat on any conclusion until we finally get something signed and we can then all read over it. But to your point that you don't see a recession right around the corner, what usually does happen is a recession shows up about a year or even a little bit longer after a inversion of that yield curve. So again, we haven't inverted yet. And quite frankly, the U.S. economy, while it did take a beating at the tail end of last year, the markets especially, what we did see is a little bit of a rebound. And now it seems like very much a range-bound trade. Would you say throughout this year, are you bullish, are you bearish, or are you more neutral, thinking that this wider range could hold for most of the year?
Well, I think this wider range right here, let me back up first off. When we came into the year, we thought the S&P would have a positive 12%. That was our prediction for this year, and we're almost there now. So I think we should expect a little bit of a downside on the short term like we're seeing now and be range bound for a while until there's clarity, because here's something I think could catapult the markets in the second half of this year. There's been a concern about the real estate market here in the U.S. when the 10-year started to flirt with the 3.25% range. Now that the 10-year is back down to 2.6, 2.65, I think you're going to see some momentum in the real estate market in the second half of this year, which I think could give us a nice, nice tailwind heading into the end of the year to finish the S&P in double digits.
Okay. Hey, that's interesting comments there. Now, how do you think that plays out for global economies or global markets as well? Because they have continued to struggle. There is the argument that if they continue to struggle, then more money could continue to flow into the U.S., but it could also be building up to what we saw at the tail end of last year, where it seemed like those struggles in other markets finally started to matter for U.S. equities.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we are probably looked at as the most stable around the globe. And I hate to continue to keep talking about trade, but when you're talking about the top two economies in the world, and there's instability there in regards to the relationship, I think that's why you're seeing part of this global slowdown. I think if we can get some closure on that, then you'll see, because China's putting a lot of stimulus in their economy as well, too. We take care of the trade, then I think you start to see their economies come back, and more importantly, their stock markets come back as well, too. So it's kind of all, we are a global economy today, and we all do indirectly affect each other at some point in time. So that's why I think so much hinges on getting us a trade deal with China.
All right. Interesting comments there, Eddie. I look forward to your book when it is released. And again, remember, either search The Common Sense Bull or email me if you want more information on Eddie's book. In the meantime, Eddie, interesting comments. Always important to watch what yields are doing and that 10-2 spread. Eddie, have a great rest of your week.
Thank you so much.